Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. On 4 September, the latest asserted Russian collusion hoax was distributed by the leftist media establishment following the highly publicized press conference promoted by the Harris-Waltz campaign, the Biden administration, and other Marxist allies. The press conference was hosted by our Justice Department and chaired by Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Both Garland and Wray promoted the misleading facts that once again, the American spy agencies asserted the Kremlin favors Trump over Kamala Harris in our presidential election. The intentionally misleading assertion promoted by Garland and Wray took a major hit the next day when, you may have noticed, multiple press reports released by CNN, Sky News, Fox News, and other international media outlets. They all stated that President Putin endorsed Kamala Harris for president. These worldwide press releases exposed our DOJ and FBI that they were intentionally misinforming us, and they were promoting another Russian collusion hoax, trying to interfere again in our third presidential election in a row. It's beyond time to get rid of Garland and Wray, and our nation doesn't need people with a lack of integrity shown by Harris and Waltz. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is, of course, Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Is it real hunting season yet, Skip?
Well, yes and no. It's tricky. Here in our home state of Michigan, we have a deer herd of 2 million deer estimated by the DNR, but their target population is 1 million. So they're expanding all kinds of hunting opportunities. So for me, this is going to be a great year as far as filling my freezer. We have it half full now. And over the next 2 months, I will be filling it to the brim with just prime whitetail venison. No hormones, no GMOs, any of that stuff. It'll fix us up for another year, Colonel.
Well, I'm glad you're being a good citizen by helping reduce the deer herd like our government wants you to.
Well, just doing what I can with what I got and having fun in the process.
There you go. Here's what I have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss China and drugs. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Mark Cook will discuss cybersecurity and election integrity. This is cool. Then Mike Kubiska will present his book on Iraq and will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Oh, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel. We will start with the news, but let me personally start with this. The Israeli military said it was striking the Hezbollah targets in Lebanon as the movement's leader accused Israel of, quote, crossing all of the red lines, end quote, heightening fears of an escalation into a full-blown regional war. Israeli jets were carrying out huge sonic booms over the Lebanese capital, Beirut, during a speech by Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah last Thursday. Nasrallah blamed Israel for the deadly attacks on the militant group's communications devices, which he called a severe blow, and said they were investigating. Handheld walkie-talkie radios used by the terrorists were detonated across Lebanon last Wednesday, stoking tensions after similar explosions of the group's pagers the day before. Lebanon said that they were detonated by electronic messages and said authorities had concluded the explosives had been implanted before arriving in the country. The death toll from the second attack in Beirut suburbs in the Bekaa Valley has been now risen to 75 with at least 608 injured. A further 12 people were killed in explosions the previous day with nearly 2,300 wounded. We are now opening a new phase in the war, Israeli Defense Minister Gallant said in the aftermath, adding that his country's military force is shifting to its northern border. This, as we and Britain are encouraging restraint. I support Israel's moves. And there was a second attempt on the life of former President Trump that was prevented by an alert Secret Service member. We'll discuss this once we know more. Okay, Skip, take it from here.
Well, Colonel, the number of U.S. adults who place confidence in medical scientists to act in our best interest declined from 40% to 29% in 2022. A 2021 survey by the American Board of Internal Medicine found that 1 in 6 people, including many physicians, no longer trust doctors, and 1 in 3 don't trust our public health agencies to act in our interest. Doctors are leaving the profession in droves, prompting worries of a physician shortage. This will certainly negatively impact our military. If we're hurt defending our nation, we need good medical support. The problem seems to be the demand by our government to be in full control. Remember COVID?
It's clear that the problem is the senior leadership in our government.
And Armenia, once a close Russian ally, is shifting its stance by sending military support to Ukraine. Armenia is providing Ukraine with artillery, tank ammunition, and Soviet-era air defense systems in exchange for modern Western weaponry. Late last month, Armenia signed a $224 million deal with the European Commission, ensuring the supply of ammunition and anti-aircraft systems to Ukraine. This surprising shift in alliance is seen as a response to Russia's inaction during a recent tribal conflict where Armenia felt unsupported. Despite its small size, Armenia has a significant stockpile of Soviet-era weapons, which Ukraine can use. In exchange, Armenia will receive modern equipment from France, including portable air defense systems and Caesar self-propelled howitzers. This not only enhances Ukraine's military, but also helps Armenia modernize its military.
Mr. Putin's actions seem very, very unpopular, don't they?
And China's defense minister, Dong Jun, has called for peace talks to end the Russian-Ukraine war during a meeting with involved nations, which included defense officials from many countries, including Russia and the United States. Dong urged for more global governance and for peace talks to start as soon as possible. China claims to be neutral in the conflict, but has strengthened its economic ties with Russia and opposed Western sanctions against Moscow. China has also put forward a peace plan, but it does not include the withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukraine, which is why many Western countries have rejected it. President Zelensky has criticized China's plan, calling it destructive, since it doesn't require Russian troop withdrawal. China has assured Ukraine that it will not send weapons to Russia.
So Russia's friend, China, wants the war to end, but they do advocate global governance, which they plan to control.
And the Romanian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has strongly condemned the Russian missile attack on a civilian cargo ship in the Black Sea on September 12, calling it an unprecedented escalation in the conflict. Russia targeted a vessel transporting grain to Egypt. Quote, "This unprecedented escalation of Russia's illegal war against Ukraine violates international law and poses a threat to global food security. The Russian Federation must stop attacks on commercial vessels and respect freedom of navigation," they stated. The foreign minister expressed concern about Russian drone incursions into Romanian airspace, urging Russia to cease attacks on civilian vessels and respect international maritime laws. And he praised the support Romania has received from the U.S. and from NATO.
One more former strong Russian ally pulling away. Dictators are used to doing what they want to do and not being held accountable. That's not working so well now for Russia.
And Ukrainian paratroopers from the 46th Air Mobile Brigade successfully repelled a massive Russian mechanized assault on September 12, destroying 12 enemy vehicles in the process. The assault involved 46 units of Russian equipment. It was divided into 4 waves and began at 5:45 a.m., continuing until midday. The paratroopers used all available weaponry to fend off the attack, resulting in the destruction of 9 infantry fighting vehicles, 2 tanks, 2 armored personnel carriers, and 2 motorcycles. Additionally, 11 more infantry fighting vehicles were disabled by fire damage. This level of destruction was unprecedented in the area under the brigade's responsibility. Quote, "We've never seen such a number of destroyed and damaged vehicles in one day," the brigade commented.
This is a nice victory. As a former paratrooper, I know how hard it can be for paratroops to engage mechanized units. Good job.
And Vladimir Putin has issued a stark warning, suggesting that if the West allows Kiev to use longer-range weapons against Russian targets, it would essentially mean NATO is at war with Russia. Putin stressed that Russia would respond decisively to any perceived threats. He then warned, "This would mean that NATO countries, the United States, and European countries are at war with Russia. We will take appropriate decisions based on the threats that will be posed to us," unquote. During a recent visit to Kiev, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy indicated that Putin had already escalated the conflict by seeking missiles from Iran. The potential for escalation has been a key concern preventing, until recently, Western nations from granting Kiev permission to use their long-range weapons to target sites within Russia. Blinken said, "We've seen Russia now pursue and indeed escalates its attacks inside Ukraine on civilians, on energy infrastructure, as well as on the Ukrainian military that's defending its country. And we've now seen this action of Russia acquiring ballistic missiles from Iran, which will further empower their aggression in Ukraine. So, if anyone is taking escalatory action, it would appear to be Mr. Putin and Russia."
Okay, Putin has drawn a red line in the sand, and if we cross it, there will be World War III. Well, President Obama drew some red lines in the sand during some Middle East fighting. Red lines were ignored. We did nothing. Mr. Putin is following Obama's example. For over a month now, we've permitted Kyiv to fire into Russia. The results have been bad for Russia. Ukrainian troops are also attacking inside Russia. I'm betting that China's call for peace negotiations will be accepted, just not sure when. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Please check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk cybersecurity with Mark Cook. At ease, troops, take a break. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. And now it's time for comments by the Colonel. President Biden signed a proclamation last month commemorating Overdose Awareness Week, a solemn moment for a nation that has witnessed over 500,000 deaths from drug overdose in the past decade. The president hailed his, quote, relaunch of counter-narcotics cooperation, end quote, with communist China as a vital tool in combating the flow of fentanyl and other synthetic opioids into our nation. It was partly because of this that our national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, then traveled to China. He met with top officials from the Chinese Communist Party before telling reporters that we are dedicated to getting Chinese assistance over synthetic opioids. However, another senior administration official was delivering a different message to another country. Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell was telling other nations that we would crack down on the growing networks of Chinese drug traffickers. These networks are positioning themselves to increase the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. and elsewhere by expanding new shipping lanes across the Indo-Pacific. Quote, we are concerned some of the networks that have grown in China and Southeast Asia are beginning to use the Pacific for transshipment both to Latin America and the U.S., he said. Campbell reassured those present that we would work with them to rein in drug trafficking by criminal networks from China. But his admission of the growing Chinese drug trade sales raises questions to the efficiency of our counter-narcotics engagement in China. It's clear that we're openly stating two very opposite positions. Why would we do that? It couldn't be more clear that China is out to destroy our nation in any way they can. They state that openly, and they make most of the fentanyl in the world, and they want it to hurt us. They're at war with us and have been for years. It's just not a shooting war. So our government is dancing between managing a diplomatic relations with China's dictatorship and ending our opioid crisis? A State Department spokesman said that, quote, we remain concerned about the transnational criminal activity in the Indo-Pacific and are working closely with robust assistance to regional partnerships on the issue. He added that these transnational criminal groups, by definition, are global in nature, and so must be our response. Further, our diplomatic efforts consisted of two meetings with the Counter-Narcotics Working Group with China, a joint effort designed to, quote, disrupt the manufacture and flow of illicit synthetic drugs, end quote. So, is anyone in our government willing to say the truth that China makes most of the drugs that are killing our people and they're hard at work to get it into our country? Well, a bipartisan effort found that the CCP subsidized manufacture of opioids by offering tax subsidies and grants to companies engaged in the creation and export of such drugs to the Americas, even though the drugs are technically illegal in China. And the Chinese Communist Party has ownership in some of the companies exporting fentanyl precursors. Congressman Dusty Johnson, Republican of South Dakota, who served on the committee, said that they had their own fentanyl working group, which recommended strict trade and customs enforcement measures to counter the flow of narcotics from China. China produces almost all of the fentanyl that comes across our borders, he said. Further, he wasn't sure how the president expects China to cooperate with our request to stop the fentanyl crisis when the CCP-affiliated companies are the ones producing the drug. No Democratic members of the committees have made any public statements. Representative Alex Mooney, Republican of West Virginia, whose state has consistently ranked the highest in the nation for lethal overdoses per capita, said China's communist regime was largely to blame. He noted that a lot of the poison on our streets can be directly traced to Mexican drug cartels using fentanyl materials from China. He wants Congress to pass a legislation to deny U.S. taxpayer-funded assistance to nations such as Mexico and China until they can be certified as having effectively worked with us to lower the production and trafficking of fentanyl. Well, all this makes it crystal clear that China is in the middle of the creating and sustaining the death of our citizens. And this makes sense because they are and have been doing all they can to take our nation down. And they openly have no ethical restrictions on how they attack us. It's worthy of note that their efforts have totally empowered the cartels in Mexico to make millions and millions of bucks, helping illegal aliens into our country and bringing in drugs and who knows what else. And there's evidence that cartels from other nations have moved into Mexico to take advantage of all the money to be made there. And what has our government done? Well, they've decided not to obey the laws of our nation that prescribe how non-citizens can enter our country. They've destroyed our once very professional and effective border security teams, and now we have well over 10 million illegals here who we taxpayers are supporting with food, housing, healthcare, education, and who knows what else. And yes, they're related to the major increase in crime in our nation. Despite the fact that President Biden and Border Czar Kamala Harris keep telling us our border is secure, It's clearly intentionally open, producing huge harm to our nation and our citizens. And we're negotiating with China, apparently thinking that will make a difference. Isn't it clear that we're at war with China? It's very, very, very clear to me. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
You know, for many years, the U.S. Navy has had mixed gender ships. However, the Navy has had a ban on women serving on the submarines up until 2010. And as of 2023, there were only 609 female sailors assigned to operational submarines, and most of those were Ohio-class submarines. Admitting women to submarines has posed a challenge to the Navy, which has had to reorganize and retrofit the vessels where space is already at a premium. Previously, the Navy announced it would expand the number of co-ed crew submarines from 30 to 40. Now, the USS New Jersey, which is a Virginia-class submarine and is smaller than the Ohio-class submarines, just finished up 8 years of construction, which included a retrofit to accommodate both genders. Originally designed for all-male crews, these existing type of submarines are not easily supporting additional women. In the case of the USS New Jersey, it had to be majorly adjusted to account for male and female service members, including changes to the height of overhead valves, added steps for high bunks, and stacked laundry machines, and additional privacy for washrooms and berths. For example, with berths, which are usually built in 3 or 6 rack person configurations, they're not easily adapted if the number of women on the vessel doesn't match the number of berths. And washrooms face a similar issue, which crews have to deal with by dividing up space or using facilities in an all-male or all-female block. Now, the USS New Jersey will be the 23rd Virginia-class submarine in the Navy's fleet, and it's named after the state where the first U.S. submarine was built in 1900. And it's the first Virginia-class submarine to be integrated for both men and women. You know, for my entire 30-year career with the Coast Guard, I've served in mixed-gender crews, and I felt that mixed-gender crews only enhance the operational capabilities of every unit I ever served in. However, I really hope the Navy is making these types of decisions based on operational readiness and not because of political pressure. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss cybersecurity with Mark Cook. Then we'll talk with Iraq vet Mike Kubiska about his book. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better health care options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome Mark Cook. He's an election cybersecurity and forensic expert. He's an IT specialist and a software developer. Mark's a highly qualified complex systems and root cause analyst who started writing software when he's age 10. And developed an early bulletin board search engine at age 13, and this is before the internet. He's testified before judicial courts and several legislative bodies, and has worked with numerous election irregularity cases where cyber fraud was alleged, most notably in Maricopa County, Arizona, Mesa, Pueblo, and El Paso counties, Colorado, Washington State, South Carolina, and Montana. He's also conducted investigations in Texas and is one of the handful of cybersecurity experts that has conducted forensic investigations on an electronic voting system. And this means he's a geek. And regular listeners know I'm not even a little bit geeky. That's why I invited him to join us, because secure elections are what our nation is about. It's part of our Constitution. These elections elect, among other things, the president, who's our commander in chief. This is important stuff. Welcome, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Well, great. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Well, you've obviously been a geek all your life. What got you into that?
I really was curious about how things worked. So even back in the day, when I got my first little tool set, of course, I took everything I could find apart to figure out how it worked, just to satisfy my curiosity. And then when computers kind of showed up, or electronics showed up, I was also very curious about how they worked. And I always like to improve things and build and create. And so when I saw electronics as a way to be able to create things out of nothing, essentially, I enjoyed that very much. So I started, my first thing I really ever programmed, I think, was that old IBM Selectrix typewriter that came out with that 40 character LCD display. No one else could figure out how to use it, but I enjoyed it as a little kid. And I started actually programming the typewriter for the real estate agents that worked at the office my mom worked at when I was very, very young.
So it just is who you are. That's it just clicked with you. Okay. That makes sense. Frankly, that's a really neat way to live a life, one that you've sort of been interested in all your life, and it is fulfilling for you as well as being productive for society. Okay. Let's talk elections. That's really big in our nation right now. I don't know if the last election was stolen, but it's really clear to me that it could have been. Talk to us about election security. All I know is that I am not comfortable. And I know that I don't know enough to justify anything I just said.
Well, and therein lies the problem, actually, because elections are so complex that the average citizen doesn't understand how they work in any way. And that is a huge problem, because our elections are the sole tool we have to measure our will to determine who our representatives are and what laws we choose to follow. And if we don't even understand how that tool of measurement works, can you imagine what someone could do if they were able to take control of it and adjust it so it doesn't accurately reflect our will, but they could make us think that it does? And that's what we've got here right now. I've studied this system. I was shocked and really made feel pretty nauseous when I looked at the whole thing and realized that this entire system was created in a way that it could be manipulated through a myriad of different methods in order to manipulate the outcome without the citizens realizing it. And that's why I'm so passionate about correcting this problem. And it's done a lot in the background with the myriad of different computer systems that are involved. The whole goal of the people trying to manipulate an election would be to obfuscate as much as possible so the citizens couldn't see it. And all these systems that they've put in place do exactly that. They obfuscate the entire election system in a way that could be very beneficial to a number of actors, from county levels all the way up to nation state level, that would want to manipulate our elections. And it basically gives them a path, many paths, to be able to manipulate the elections. It's the stupidest system ever created if we want to be able to trust our elections based on earned trust instead of mandated trust, which is what they're expecting us to trust it on now.
Well, what you say makes real sense. And it's true. I'm in my 80s, so I remember when elections were hand counted. And yes, there was room for error, but not much, because usually there was somebody looking over your shoulder while you were counting them. We've kissed that off, haven't we?
Of course we have. And what we should have done at that point, you know, there was a weakness in that, is that, you know, I don't trust my neighbor counting, or if whoever's watching, whoever's counting, you know, is the important part. But what we could have done is taken technology and used technology to provide transparency and additional levels of security, rather than use technology to create obscurity in the system. And that's what we did. We went the complete wrong direction with technology. We moved citizens further away from the elections. We made them complex and hard to see and impossible to verify. That does not result in fair elections. That actually facilitates those that would want to manipulate the election. So what we should do is take a very simple system, which is counting dots on a piece of paper, and use technology to make it more transparent and verifiable by the citizens that depend on it. And all we had to do was take that hand count process, add scanners, dumb scanners, and cameras for two extra levels of verification. Whereas ballots are on the table in the box, you pull, for an example, 25 out of the box, you create a cover sheet for that batch number, you send them through the scanner, it makes a PDF file, you hand count them underneath the camera overhead, and then the tally sheets, where you add all the votes up, those go through the scanner as well. And then you take all the scanned PDF files of all the ballot images, and you take all the video of the entire process, and you put all that up on the county website under each precinct. So anyone that questioned the results of that can just pull up the video, download the ballots, and look at it all themselves. Very simple. And then, of course, you have the human verification aspect that's actually doing the counting. Two talliers, two callers, and a watcher. And you have each tallier, Democrat and Republican watchers. You know, you'd have two watchers if you wanted. And the callers, Democrat and Republican. And everyone watches each other. It should be a zero trust system, not a system built on blind trust or mandated trust. So it's so easy to fix this all. We go back to the way we did it for 200 years. And we just use technology to add additional layers of transparency and verifiability.
That makes way too much sense. But
that's why no one's doing it. Yeah.
Well, no one is doing it that wants to be able to impact on the election, whether they actually do impact or not. I apparently want the ability to. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's very sad that that is where we're at. And the scope of an election is pretty simple. You fill out dots on pieces of paper and you count the dots. And the people that fill the dots out have to be citizens of that county, eligible voters. That's it. There's your whole scope for the election. Eligible voters that are citizens filling out dots on a piece of paper, and then you count the dots. That's the entire scope of what our elections need to be. And instead, it is a billion-dollar industry to launder money and power throughout our country.
That's way too reasonable. There's more to discuss about cybersecurity and election integrity, and Mark's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to do before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Mark and I will be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mark Cook about cybersecurity and election integrity. So, Mark, you just made it clear that it's really uncomplicated to take the way we've done it for years before and make it even more reliable, dependable, secure. But instead, we've spent millions of dollars, billions of dollars to do things into this election that make it manipulatable by almost anybody. Am I reading that?
Yes, anybody, down to the county levels, all the way up to nation state. And the other problem is it's not verifiable. The citizens have no way to accurately, reliably verify that their will was accurately measured. That's insane. How do we trust a system blindly without any ability to verify it? And what we should be doing is, if we're taking money from people's pockets to pay for elections, and it's billions of dollars a year just to count dots on a piece of paper, billions. That's insane amounts of money. What we should be doing is putting that money right back into the hands of the very citizens who are casting the votes in the first place, and to pay them for actually counting those votes in a transparent manner. And that way, when you do that, you keep the money in the family. People will spend that two or three times over in their own communities. What we're doing now is we're taking all this tax money from people, and it's getting sent to these myriad of these corporations that are actually taking part in obfuscating the election system from us. That's stupid. Who with two connected brain cells would think that would be a good idea?
Unless that somebody wanted to manipulate things.
Absolutely.
So we, the people, had a simple situation, a simple solution. It could have been made more accurate and more available, but instead somebody came along and convinced us, or just did and told us to smile and like it, and created something that is huge, complex, expensive, and takes away all the trust we had in the system. Is that a fair sum?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very fair. And they did it over a period of years, very subtly, and they did it with deception. They deceived ignorant people that didn't see where they were going. They only saw a foot in front of their face. They didn't see the mile that these people were actually going. And they're not done yet. Their next step is to move everything to cell phone voting, all e-voting. And then we're not going to need poll watchers anymore. We're not going to need election officials anymore. We don't need clerks anymore. They're just going to run the elections, federalize them. Essentially, they're going to be run by corporations, but those corporations will be beholden to the federal government, just like the current social media outlets are and all these other organizations. And then that's how they finally federalize the entire election system, centralize it all, and just tell us who won, essentially, while we blindly accept it. And we have no way to verify it at that point when it's all happening in, quote unquote, the cloud. And if we want this country to survive, the only way this country is going to survive is if citizens take back entire control of their elections, count the dots on a piece of paper themselves in their precincts, in their counties, and release the precinct level results. That is the only way the American citizens regain control of their country. And what we need to do in this upcoming election, because we can't change the entire system in 2 months. And I've got a very detailed presentation on handcountroadshow.org. Again, that's handcountroadshow.org. If you watch my most recent presentation, there's a button there. I go into detail about the system. But the summary, the 30,000 foot view of this whole thing is if we want to have the best chance at having the American will represented accurately in the election, people need to vote in huge numbers on election day in person, and they need to work the elections. Mail-in voting and early voting facilitates the fraud. There's too many avenues to manipulate an election when people use mail-in ballots and early voting. So if people want to overwhelm the cheating, they need to vote in person on election day and stand your ground. If your county cannot conduct an election and allow you to vote, do not leave that long line. You stay in that line as long as you need to until your vote is counted. And if a county puts on an election and they fail to administer it properly and they do not allow citizens to cast their votes, then that county cannot certify their election. And if they do certify their election, I would say, in my opinion, they would be doing so illegally because they would be disenfranchising the citizens of that county.
That's awesome, because we're hearing so many things now about how to do and what to do. And I think what you're saying is that voting early, however you vote, just gives the bad guys, whoever they are, the numbers that they have to beat. And
of course,
but the day of election, it's too late. It's already there.
Exactly. These people have been channelizing us into early and mail-in voting, not because it doesn't benefit them, but because it does benefit them. There's a reason why they've been pushing this. There's a reason why we have election month and not election day anymore. It's to facilitate the manipulation so they can put on a better show. So if we are going to keep playing their game, we are going to keep losing. If we pay attention to what's really going on and we work counter and we return our elections to the people, single day voting on paper in the precinct, that's the only way we restore this. And if we don't at least apply equal opposite pressure, we're never going to get there.
And your point's well made. If you keep doing the same thing, you have to expect the same result. If you keep planting corn, don't expect carrots. You know, that's just common sense. That's
absolutely. We've got virtual voter registrations. Mail-in ballots are virtual votes, and virtual registrations plus virtual votes equal virtual results. And that's what we've been getting.
Wow. And what a call to action. It's our country. If we're going to take control of it, we have to do that. And the time is now. And I want to repeat this. Your website is handcountroadshow.org, right?
Yes, it is. And I'm not owned or run by any corporation or any nonprofit. I'm doing this just as a citizen of the United States of America that loves my country and loves my fellow citizens. I don't like people being taken advantage of. And I'm essentially blowing the whistle on the manipulation and the show that's been going on in our background. We are living the consequences of elections that have been manipulated for decades. This is living example, symptoms of manipulated elections. And that's why our country, our citizens are miserable. That's why things aren't going well, because our will is not being represented. So people need to realize, take note of the elephant in the room. It's the elections, stupid. That's what I'm trying to tell people. And because I'm not beholden to anyone, I am surviving just merely on donations from citizens to help me keep pounding the streets and beating the drums on this as I travel around the country in my truck and trailer. I decided I'm going to uproot my life and try to bring this information to as many citizens as I can. So I'm on a journey around the country to try to help save the country. And anyone that can help me out with that, some fuel in the truck and some food once in a while, I would very much appreciate it. And I will keep fighting for my country until I take my last breath.
Then you're my brother in arms. And I would like you to take a minute now and restate what we need to do for this election. You already told us once, tell us again so that everybody gets it.
Absolutely. So two things. Get involved in your elections. Work your elections if you can. It's really important to have bodies there watching everything. And second, vote like you have never voted before. bring 10 other people to vote with you on election day, on paper, in person. That is the easiest way to overwhelm the cheating that is going on. It is harder to cheat when people vote on election day in person. So you bring 10 people to vote and tell those 10 people to bring 10 people each themselves. We need to all do our civic duty and vote in our elections on election day in person on paper.
Well said, Mark. Again, you want to stay in touch with Mark? It's handcountroadshow.org. Let's not just listen to him. Let's support him financially and other ways. He's fighting for our country. Thank you, Mark, for your excellent comments and for your service to our nation by promoting election security. God bless you, brother. You're my friend. You're my brother in arms.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with veteran Mike Kubiska about his time in Iraq. Then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense for your family or yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 push-ups, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-meet-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.